worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Amen.
Right. Good evening. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. We're going to go over these announcements here real quick. I don't think we have any more bulletins, but not a whole lot to announce. Front page, the bulletin, weekly church service times, Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Underneath there is a list of our soul winning times. Soul winning is a time where we go out in the community and preach the gospel to the lost. If you're interested in going soul winning, there are several times down here to choose from. Just come see me and I can get you to the right person. You can always call, text 208-391-5323. So we did finish November off with 8 salvations, and that's 96 year to date. Let's see here, back page. Well, we're all done with 2 Samuel. We're going to be starting 1 John this Sunday evening. And a look ahead, December 18th at 5 p.m. is Ladies' Christmas potluck / gift exchange. Bring a dish to share and a gift of $20 or less. If you have any other questions, go see Jessica after the service. And also, we want to say congratulations to Miss Rachel Akers and Mike. They had baby Titus Asa today. He was 7 pounds. At 7 a.m., so he's a beef chuck. I saw his picture. He's a chubby cheeker. Very healthy, good thing. Brother Skulk contacted me today, so they just left Boise today, actually. So their flight got canceled to London for 2 days. So we'll be praying for him again tonight on the prayer list, and don't forget to pray for him throughout the week because he's going to be doing a lot of soul winning and a lot of work for God over there. So we're excited about that. Let's see here. This week's memory verse is John 7:7, which says, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." We are a family integrated church, and that means children and infants are always welcome in the service. If you need privacy, there's a daddy baby room right over here to your left, and the mother baby room is right across the hallway. The monitor's all set up, ready to go. If you have any issues, go see Caden. Let's see here. Tithes and offerings for November right below that. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so it's not a distraction. And the very bottom line says, "Not expressing the emotion of gratitude will give the notion of ingratitude." And that was from not last Sunday, but the Sunday before. So if you did not get one of these songs, just raise your hand. I will come by and pass it out. But we're going to have one more song before we receive the offering.
All right, at this time, we'll be singing our chorus of the month, "Go Tell It on the Mountain."
Silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, our humble Christ was born, and brought us all salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be able to meet here this evening. I just pray that you bless the service, Lord, and the fellowship afterwards. And pray that you be with us throughout the rest of the week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Turn their Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible reads, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received us of how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, and ye should abstain from fornication. And that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, as even the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Jeremiah, would you pray for us?
All right, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The title of the sermon this evening is "The Apostle Paul Was Post-Trib Pre-Tribulational." pre-wrath. The Apostle Paul was post-trib, pre-wrath. You know, a lot of these doctrines have to be preached at least on a yearly basis, and so it is that time to review doctrine again, especially about end times prophecy. Now, what brought this up was a few weeks ago, a video got recommended to me, and I think I mentioned it before. It was by Sam Gipp, who goes to Treasure Valley Baptist Church. And the title of the video was, The Apostle Paul Was Pre-Trib, meaning he believes that the event described here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, between verses 13 and 18, he believes that we're going to escape the tribulation. We're going to escape that. And a lot of Christians believe that. This is a very sensitive topic. A lot of people get very upset when you tell them that they'll go through the tribulation. They'll call us nasty names and party poopers and things like that. But the issue is, it's post-trib. Okay, there's no other way to say it. And so what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to prove to you that the Apostle Paul was post-trib. Now, in that video that Sam Gipp made, he's talking about how the Apostle Paul is our apostle. Okay, he kept saying, right, the Apostle Paul is our apostle. And what he means by that, what these dispensationalists like him and Bill Grady and Andrew Sluter, what these guys mean by that is that the Apostle Paul and what he said in the Bible supersedes anything that Jesus Christ said, anything that any of the other apostles said, okay? And that's false doctrine because they all say the same thing, for one. They're all preaching the Word of God, okay, for number two. And it's just very ignorant. I'm going to show that to you. I'm going to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the tribulation is definitely something that we will go through. Now, if you would, go back and look at chapter number 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Because one of the things he said, and he kept saying this over and over and over again, you know, well, if we were going to go through the tribulation, Paul would have warned us here in this book. And he started to read verses from chapter number 3 here, and he's like, you know, when he gets to verse 3, and we'll look at it here in a second, his voice dropped considerably. Okay, it was hilarious. When you get home, go look it up. Sam Gipp, what is the video? It's Sam Gipp was pre-trib. Yeah, something like that. Just type in Sam Gipp, Apostle Paul was pre-trib. It'll come right up, and you can have a good laugh because that's about all that it's good for. It is definitely, definitely false doctrine. But I want you to notice this here. Look at verse number 1 in 1 Thessalonians 3. It says this. So Paul says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now, that's important. What is the point of him writing? Why is he explaining this to us? And it's to comfort them. Well, why do you need to be comforted? Well, look at verse number 3. He says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed there unto. So you have to understand that the truth divides. Okay, the truth gets us hated. We talked about this a lot on Sunday, and I mention this all the time, you know. When you stand for the truth and you adopt the Bible as your final authority, you will make enemies. It's just the way that it is, okay? We know that. And so what Paul is saying to these guys is, hey, you know, I know that you guys went through some affliction. You went through some tribulations. You went through some hard times, and I want to make sure that your faith is okay. Hey, that's the whole point of this. But look what he says in verse number 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. So he's basically saying, hey, remember, I told you we were going to suffer tribulation. Now, is that talking about the tribulation in the future? Not necessarily, okay? But it's kind of funny that these people always go around saying, you know, no, we're going to escape the tribulation. We're going to be taken up out of here before that. But yet the Bible says over and over again that we will suffer afflictions. We will go through tribulation. You see, we've had a kind of gravy in this country for the last, you know, couple hundred years. You got to admit that, okay? We weren't going through what they were going through. Believers in times past did have to worry about their lives. And so it's not like in every chapter of the Bible, you know, God's going to say, don't forget, you're going to go through the tribulation. Don't forget, you know, those of you who are alive during the time that the Antichrist is revealed, you're going to suffer, okay? It's not necessary because it's obvious. Jesus talked about it. It's in all the Gospels. It's in the last book of the Bible. And it's even in this book of the Bible. And you're going to see that here. But I just thought it was, you know, funny that it says, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. And when you compare that to the other verses in the Bible that we're going to go through, you'll see that that's also talking about the tribulation in the future. So whenever this happens, whenever the Antichrist takes power, takes control, he's revealed and it's like, okay, there's no more secret. It's obvious we're not out of here. You know, you're going to see these people jump up. Let me go. You know, get me out of here. Get me out of here. And guess what? It isn't going to work. You know, when I was in the military, we were having a really bad day one time. I'll never forget this. This kid, he just flipped a lid and he went in a corner and he started clicking his heels together and just started saying, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. And I remember these drill sergeants just swarmed him and just gave him absolute hell. And I'll never forget it. I just remember thinking like, man, this is crazy. Like, they got no compassion on anybody. That dude flipped out, and I don't know what happened to him, but that memory has stuck with me, and that's how I view a lot of these pre-trib people when this is going to happen. You know, they're going to be mad. What did Jesus tell us that it would be like in the last days? There'd be scoffers, mockers. What else did he say? The people would be offended, right? A lot of people would be offended. And one of the reasons why they're going to be offended is because they've been lied to for so many years, okay? So if we go through tribulations now, if we go through afflictions now, if our brethren who have been before us have gone through those things, why would we think that we're special to escape these things, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you can't survive it, because obviously there will be some people that survive until the end, you know, and we can talk about that some other day. But what we need to do now is go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 so that we can get our definition. What is the rapture? Because the word rapture is not found in the Bible. It's kind of like the word Trinity. The rapture is a word that we use to describe the events that we're going to be reading about here. So let's deal with this. Let's look at verse number 13. The Bible reads, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now let's just stop right there. Why in the world would Paul need to tell these guys that? Well, to comfort them, right? This is a book of comfort. This is a book to ensure comfort through trials and chaos and tribulations. But notice what he says at the beginning of the verse. It's the whole point for this sermon. It's the reason why I'm preaching this. That we are not supposed to be ignorant, without knowledge, dumb, stupid, concerning end times events. We're not supposed to get this wrong, okay? It's very, very important that we understand this so that we don't become offended later on. Look at verse number 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And so Paul's obviously telling these guys, hey, don't worry about it. You're going to see your lost one. You're going to see your loved ones again. It's not like you're going to go up and never see them again, or it's going to be a long time and that you have to cry and sorrow and be just hopeless. No, you guys are going to meet together again in the air. Look at verse 16. He says this, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Okay, that verse right there, that is the rapture. That is what we are referring to when we say the word rapture. Look at verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Again, emphasizing the importance of this letter, emphasizing the importance of this doctrine. It's to comfort one another, okay? But Sam Gipp reads that and he's like, see, if we were going to go through the tribulation, he would have mentioned it right here. He would have said that plain as day right here. Well, how do you know that? It says it in other places, okay? But this is talking about the tribulation as well. You'll see that here. Look one more book over, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, in verse number 1. You got to understand, look at what the beginning of that verse there. It says, "but." So this is a continuation of thought, okay? This isn't a whole new, oh, we're in a whole new book now. We got to change subjects, okay? That's what these people do, right? And another thing they do, I ought to mention before I go on, is they confuse the word tribulation and wrath. Right. What they do is they say this whole seven-year span of, you know, end times events, Jacob's 70th week, they say that whole thing is God's wrath. That is not true. When the Antichrist gets given power to conquer and to wear out the saints, which is what the Bible says, okay, that is not God's wrath on us, right? If they kill the body, oh, well, we go to be with the Lord. It doesn't matter. We are supposed to be comforted in that fact. You get a blessing. Even Paul said that. I mean, how many times does he have to say that? It's better to depart and be with the Lord, right? Isn't that what he told people? That was his ideology. That was his mentality. And guess what? That was a gift given from God. That's knowledge given from God. That's the attitude that we should have. Paul's expecting them to have that same attitude. So let's read this verse here. He says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." We'll stop right there. So again, why isn't he going into great detail? Okay, like, the Antichrist is going to come out and do this, 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 and this, and this is the tribulation. It's 3.5 years. Why isn't he doing that? Because he already told them that, okay? And you can get that information throughout other parts of the Bible. So he's saying, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." He's like, I don't want to be redundant. Verse 2, "For yourselves know perfectly," now don't miss this, "that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Well, what's the day of the Lord? That Christ returns, right? Which is the event in what? Verse number 17 in chapter number 4. The same thing, okay? It's the same day. So the same day that the events described in verse number 17 happened, guess what? That's the day of the Lord. Who's read Genesis 19? This whole church has, practically, right? When did God rain down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah? After Lot was rescued. Same day. Lot goes out, then the wrath of God comes down. That is a picture of what is going to happen at the end of the world, okay? Same thing with Noah. After God shut the ark, what happened? It began to rain, okay? Now, obviously, they had a lot of tribulation up until those points. Do you think that, I mean, what does the Bible say about Lot? It says that he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Right? That's what it says. It doesn't say that he had a gravy up until the time that, you know, the angels came. Yeah, he struggled leaving, right? That's, you know, that's a sermon for another day. But the point is, the rapture is going to take place, and then there's going to be a space of about a half hour, and then God is going to pour out his wrath. Look down at verse number 3. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Well, who's the they there? It's the people left behind. It's the people that rejected God. "For when they shall say peace and safety." So when the world leader and his holy implant, you know, and whatever else he's got for society, you know, when he's running around saying, you know what, it's peace, it's safety, we've gotten rid of the haters, we've gotten rid of the bigots, we've gotten rid of the fundamentalists, we've gotten rid of these pesky Christians, you know what, they're going to say, ah, peace and safety. That's what they're going to say. But then guess what? Sudden destruction will come upon them. Look at verse 4. It says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." So he's saying, hey, look, you guys are saved. You guys are born again. You guys are Bible-believing Christians. So guess what? You're not going to be surprised by this, for one. But another thing he's trying to say is, guess what? You're not going to suffer God's wrath. Okay? We are not appointed unto wrath. We will not suffer God's wrath. Okay? I believe that. We believe that. But you know what? The Antichrist is not, how should I say this? It's not like God's like, okay, I'm going to put my saints under my wrath, and I'm just going to use the Antichrist to do it, okay? That's false doctrine. That's not what we're talking about here. He's allowed to run his course. Look, believers have been dying all over the world since the time of Christ. It happens even today. You go to some of these Muslim countries and just mention the name of Christ. Just give someone the gospel, or just a Bible verse, or some kind of even a Bible track, even a chick track, okay? And they'll cut your head off. It's true. It happens. So again, is it true that we will never suffer any kind of tribulation? Why are believers suffering tribulation even today? Right. If we, you know, tribulation and wrath are the same thing. It's because they're not. It's different. Look at verse number 5. It says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And so again, he's emphasizing the importance that we ought to know these things. We ought to be able to tell other people about these things because not everybody understands it and not everybody knows. And people out there have questions. What happened to my loved one? What happened to this? Because not everyone goes to church. Not everyone reads the Bible, right? But we do. We should have these answers, and we should always be ready to comfort other people with these truths. Look at verse number 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what they'll do is they'll take that verse and say, see, we're not appointed to, under wrath, so we're not going to suffer under the Antichrist's reign. We're going to be out of here. And I even heard Sam Gipp on that video say this. He says, you know, if we go through the tribulation, we're going to all run in heaven and find Paul and have a real big problem with him. We're going to say, hey, buddy, you should have warned us because you were our apostle because we're all Gentiles. And all the other apostles were for the Jews. And that's false doctrine. We'll address that in a couple weeks. Okay, first of all, you're not going to heaven, Sam Gipp. And second of all, you're not going to talk to Paul like that. You're not going to talk to any believer like that because you won't have the flesh. Okay, so don't think you're going to go running up and having a little beef with Paul or punch Adam or slap Eve, right? You know, none of that, or kick Lot. You know, you're not going to do that. You're probably going to have some interesting questions for them, but you're not going to do any of that. Sorry to burst your bubble, Sammy boy. Turn to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. And so, again, I wanted to bring this up here because you see this phrase throughout the Bible. It's all throughout Isaiah, the day of the Lord, okay? The day of the Lord. You have to understand what takes place on this day. What are the signs? Because when you're reading the Bible, these things come up over and over again. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, we just read this, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You'll see that come up over and over again. And there's little things that are attributed to that phrase, the day of the Lord. And that's the same day that we are taken out of here. So in Acts chapter number 2, it starts off describing the day of Pentecost has come. Verse number 11, the people are hearing Peter basically preach in their own language, right? They're speaking in tongues. And the people say, how is it that we understand what's going on here in our own language? And they're speaking the wonderful works of God. But then in verse 13, there's some opposition. And people are like, what's going on? What kind of message is this? Right? What's this Jesus stuff about? What's going on here? You guys are drunk. You guys are filled with new wine. And they start to mock. And we'll pick it up in verse 16. And look at what Peter says. He starts to defend and answer his critics. And he says this. He says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now keep in mind here, this is Peter quoting an Old Testament prophet, the prophet Joel. Starting to see, are you starting to notice something here? Okay. Paul talked about the day of the Lord. You're going to see Peter talk about the day of the Lord. Who's quoting Joel who talked about the day of the Lord? Okay. Look at verse number 17. It says, and it shall come to pass in the days in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 18, and on my servants and on mine handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And you say, I thought women weren't supposed to preach. Well, look, women go out and preach the gospel all the time at our church. Okay. And guess what? They're filled with the spirit. So there you go. Verse 19. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Look at verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Interesting. Very interesting. The Apostle Paul seems to quote the same event that the Apostle Paul was describing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and chapter 5. But yet, I guess according to the dispensationalists, we can only listen to Paul. In fact, I heard this on one of their little videos. It was a video by this guy named Dr. doctor of what, I don't know, doctor of garbage, but his name's Bill Grady. And he was talking with this other guy named Andrew Sluter, who's a pastor of a church on the East Coast. And I think Sam Gipp, don't quote me on that, I'm not 100% sure, but they were talking trash about Pastor Anderson, you know, and they were saying, you know, him and all his followers and all these guys, all they want to do is run around and see what Jesus has to say about everything, or what Peter has to say about everything. They don't understand how to rightly divide the word of truth, that the Apostle Paul, he's our apostle, and he never talked about us going through the tribulation. Almost like they're admitting, right? Almost like they're admitting that Jesus talked about the tribulation and how we'd go through that, you know? And the same with Peter. Now go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter number 24. And so again, what Peter's doing here though, right, is he's just basically giving a summary of the New Testament, okay? That's literally Acts 2, 16 through 20, summary of the New Testament, okay? And so with that short summary, there's some details that are left out, but that doesn't mean that we aren't supposed to know those details, okay? You have to rightly divide the word of truth. You have to know these things. In fact, Peter's speaking to this crowd like, you guys should know this. Your own prophet told you about the day of the Lord. So this isn't supposed to be some kind of a big shock. Nothing like that. Look down at verse number 19. Matthew 24, look at verse number 19. Okay, so up until this point, Jesus says, hey, you know, when you guys see the abomination of desolation take place by the Antichrist, you need to flee to the mountains. You need to get out of town, basically, and leave. Look at verse number 19. It says this, and woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now, kind of interesting here, because Jesus is talking to them because they asked him, what will the end of the world be like? What's going to happen, right? And notice what he's saying here. He's talking to them almost like this is going to happen in their lifetime, but it's not. The reason why he's doing that is because obviously he knew he's going to preserve his word. And this is for those of us, well, if we are, you know, going to be alive during this time, it's for the people that would, you know, be looking at the news like, what is this guy doing? What is this abomination thing? And then all of a sudden realize, oh, it's the beginning of the tribulation here, the great tribulation, you know. We need to get out of town. We need to do something. What does this mean? He's, you know, basically letting us know some information here on what to do. And he says, one thing that you can do is pray that your flight would be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And so, you know, what I take from that, what we should all take from that is that we should pray the same thing. You know, that God would keep us safe and strong and use us as much as possible until the last day. Because you know what? Even when the Antichrist is out there, you know, there's still going to be people that just won't take the mark, that aren't even saved, you know? And we're going to have the responsibility, or our children are going to have the responsibility to go get those people saved. And it's going to be dangerous. And we're not going to have church like we do now. Everything will be underground, kind of like you would maybe see in China. You know, it's going to be like that. But that's okay, because we serve a great God. Look at verse 21. It says this, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. So is there any doubt, is there any question on what we're talking about here? What is Jesus talking about here? Now he's talking about the great tribulation. Okay, that's what he's talking about. Distinguishing it from every other event that's ever happened. Look at verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Now, don't miss this next phrase. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Who are the elect? It's the saved. It's born again, Bible-believing Christians. And what the pre-tribbers will do is they'll say, okay, well, that's the people that got saved after the rapture. Chapter and verse, please. Chapter and verse, please. You can't show it because it doesn't exist. And don't give me this, oh, Israel's the elect. Oh, really? Were the Pharisees and Sadducees the elect? Well, guess what? The people over in modern-day Israel have that same attitude that the Pharisees and Sadducees had today.
Right.
And they are not the elect. In fact, Jesus said in Revelation that a synagogue is attributed to who?
Satan.
It's the synagogue of Satan, okay? Not the synagogue of the saved, not the synagogue of saints, okay? He equates synagogue, Satan. And it's very clear. Just go soul winning. You know, we'll take you downtown by the synagogue down there. In fact, I know where some Jews live. Jeff and I do. We know one. She'll probably invite you in the house and then proceed to passive-aggressively bash the Bible and everything that you believe, okay? But I don't want to get off too far on that. The elect are Bible-believing Christians. I could spend a whole sermon proving that to you. The elect are Christians, okay? And he's saying, hey, because of the elect, because of the saved, because of Christians, these days will be shortened. Otherwise, there would be nobody saved. Look at verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. So when someone says, you need to come to our service, because our pastor gets a verbal message directly from Christ. In fact, he even shows up in the service in some of these rooms. I've been to churches like that, and I'm ashamed to say that, but it's true. I've been to churches where they've had guest speakers come in and say, you know what, I talked to Jesus out in the parking lot. I had this most amazing experience. Don't believe it. It's not true. You guys know this. Look at this here, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very Jew? No, the elect. That's right, Christians. Look at verse 25. Behold, I have told you before. Verse 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Right? So when the Catholics say, hey, we have this library of secret knowledge, and that's where the real truth is. That's why we need to respect the office of the Pope. The vicar of Christ, Christ on earth. Nope, don't believe it. Don't respect it. It's a lie from hell. Look at verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So when someone says, hey, he's going to come down and he's going to secretly take people off the planet, like the tribulation movies or what are those called?
Left Behind.
Left Behind. Thank you. Yes, Left Behind, right? No, don't believe it. Don't believe it, because when he comes back, there will be no doubt, there will be no question, he's coming back, and you will know it. Even the reprobates will know it, and you'll see that here in a moment. Look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, oh, we got a big problem, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. What does that sound like to you? Yeah, it sounds like the day of the Lord. Doesn't it sound like what Peter talked about? Doesn't it sound like what Joel talked about? Doesn't it sound like what Paul talked about? It's the same thing, the day of the Lord. Wouldn't the Bible be like from here over to like Meridian if in every time somebody said day of the Lord, they had to explain in detail every single thing? Okay, you see what I'm talking about here? Look at verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Wow, what does that sound like? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, verse 17. Right? Caught up together with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look, the rapture is the day of the Lord. And guess what else happened? Guess what else happens on the day of the Lord? The day of God's wrath comes, okay? It's very, very simple to understand once you actually do an honest Bible study on the subject, okay? It becomes very clear. Go to Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter number 6, and we'll get a good, clear picture of this, and then we'll move on from there and talk about the Apostle Paul and his beliefs. Revelation chapter number 6, look at verse number 11. Last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter number 6, look at verse number 11. Actually, look at verse 10. It says this. It says, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Look at verse 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Okay? Is that God's wrath on his people? No. It's tribulation. You know, the Bible says precious in the eyes of God, I'm paraphrasing, but it says, precious in the eyes of God are the death of his saints. Okay, I forgot which psalm that is, but that's a summary of what it says. God views the death of his children as a precious thing in his sight. Okay, and we need to understand that and not be afraid of that. Not be afraid of what the world's going to do, because they're already trying. You can already see the ball rolling. Okay? Look at verse number 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Look at verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island removed out of their places. So what are we talking about here? Are we talking about the day of the Lord? Yeah. Exactly. Look at verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains. Now you got to ask yourself, and some of you already know this, why are they hiding themselves? Why? Look at verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now don't miss this. See, this tells you that even reprobates know this. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You see that? Even they are going to know true, proper Bible prophecy at this moment in time. And it's sad because it didn't have to be that way. Look, we're not Calvinists here. God doesn't just appoint some people to be saved and some people to be rejected. No, that's not true. People reject him. You guys know the story. And this is the fate. This is their end result. This is what's going to happen to them. Now go to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Very clear. That is the day of the Lord. And who's writing Revelation?
John.
Right, John. Is John an apostle?
Yeah.
What? I thought we weren't supposed to listen to John. Only just get like allegorical meanings from him. We can only listen to the Apostle Paul, right? No, we listen to all of them. We rightly divide the word of truth. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is profitable for doctrine and for correction, for reproof, for everything that we talk about here. So 2 Peter chapter number 2. Let me turn there myself. 2 Peter chapter, I'm sorry, did I say chapter 2? Go to chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. I guess we could read the whole book. All right, look at verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 3. So again, Sam Gipp and others claim that Paul is our apostle and his authority supersedes even the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Well, I just proved to you that Jesus Christ taught a post-trib, pre-wrath doctrine. The apostle John taught the same thing. Paul taught the same thing. Peter taught the same thing. Guess what? They all taught the same thing because they all have the Holy Ghost. Okay? Look at verse number 1. So this is the Apostle Peter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Okay, you ever want to get yourself stirred up or motivated, okay? This is a great way to do it. Read the Bible. Look at verse 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Kind of sounds like they're all on the same playing field, doesn't it? I mean, that's what I get from it. But I'm not a doctor. Okay, so maybe I just don't know. Look at verse number 4. And saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Right? Isn't that kind of what we're seeing now? Are people saying that? There's websites called that. There are all kinds of critics that we have out there. Jump down to verse number 10. So, look what it says. But the day of the Jew. Oh, wait, no. Is that the NIV? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, isn't this the second time that we've seen Peter talk about this? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, in the works that are therein, shall be burned up. You see, he didn't mention all of that when he quoted Joel, because he's trying to get back to preaching the gospel. It's very obvious when you read the chapter. It's very obvious when you read the book. It's very obvious when you study it. Okay? So what is the day of the Lord? Again, you see the same elements. The same thing. Thief in the night. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt. Doesn't that sound like what we just read in Revelation chapter number 6? Why is that? Because it's the same day. The day of the Lord is the day that the rapture is going to happen. And it comes after the tribulation. It comes after the great tribulation. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at God. Just accept it and mature in the faith and realize you can be one of the strong ones. One of the ones that's not afraid of this. Look, we are unapologetically post-trib, pre-wrath, because that is what is in the Bible. Let's see here. Look at verse 14. It says this. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. After referring to the day of the Lord, right? We are supposed to be found in peace, without spot, blameless. Look at verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And this isn't the first time that Peter mentions Paul. So why is the Apostle Peter talking about the day of the Lord? Which is obvious that the rapture happens after the tribulation. Oh, I get it. Because Sam Gipp is retarded, that's why. And yes, I said retarded. Okay, I'm not making fun of handicapped people. They're above being retarded. Okay, handicapped people, my dad is better than Sam Gipp. Look at verse 15. I'm sorry, look at verse 16. It says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, to their own destruction. And that's what you see there. Unto their own destruction. Go to Jude real quick. Two verses of Jude, and we're getting close to being done. Go to Jude. Sounds like Peter was post-trib. Sounds like Peter was also our apostle. Look at verse 17. Jude, right before Revelation. Jude verse 17 says this, the brother of Jesus, Jude, says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's interesting. Jude is telling us to listen to who? Just Paul, because we're not Jews? All of them, right? All of them. So who's the dumb one? Who's the ignorant one? Yeah, that's right. Look at verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Again, I didn't write that. Go to Revelation chapter 1. That's Jude. Was Jude an apostle? Was he one of the 12? So do we just ignore what he has to say? No, of course not. We know better than that. I'm just showing you how deception comes to be. And the thing that should blow everyone's mind is how many people will just listen to these guys and just take what they say as absolute positive truth when the Bible teaches something vastly different. That is a shame. Revelation chapter 1. Further proof, look at verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Again, who was John? Now, John was an apostle who wrote the last book of the Bible about future events. And no one disputes that. You would have to be absolutely on drugs to dispute that. Okay. Look at verse number 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now let me just stop right here and say this. You know, we've had people come in here multiple services for like months who were pre-trip. And you know what? We were never unkind to them. Never rude to them. Never said, you have to believe like us or you get out of here. No. We loved them. We befriended them. And they left blessed. Except for maybe one guy, you know. But that's a whole other story. But you get the point here. Now, what happens when you go to them? It's on. It's like the worst thing in the world. You know, we used to get guys that would come in, you know, when I'd serve over up in Tacoma at Liberty Baptist Church. You know, we had this one guy specifically, two guys actually, but, you know, they just couldn't wait. Have you told Pastor Richter that you're post-trib? No. Why not? Because I don't want to cause trouble, that's why. It's not that big of a deal. If he believes differently, you know, he's still a great soul winner, and he's still a great Bible teacher. Think about that for a second. Why is it that they have the beef? Like, they will cut ties with you. Most of them, they will literally cut you off from their lives once they find out you're post-trib. But we don't do that to them. We had a whole mob of people come in here. If we had a whole mob on Sunday come in here that's pre-trib, welcome, come on in. You know, no problem. You could come in here. You can be a part of our church. You can serve God. You know what? You just might have to endure that little gut-wrenching feeling once in a while when we talk about the post-trib, pre-wrath, rapture. Look at verse number 3. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You know that you get a blessing, that you get a comforting by understanding the book of Revelation, by understanding end times events, by not being ignorant like Paul said. You know, that's how we can say the things that we say with absolute confidence and not live in fear. Look at verse number 4. John to the 7 churches which are in Judea. Oh, wait. That don't say Judea. What does that say? Asia. Was Asia like a nation just full of Jews? No. No. Look what the rest of the verse says. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. That's you, that's me, that's us. We are kings and we are priests. And a sign of maturity is when you really understand that, and you understand that, hey, he's saying, hey, peace from Jesus to you. By the way, here's what's going to happen to you, and you don't even flinch. You're like, let's bring it. If it's going to happen, let's have it happen, and let's go to glory. Verse 6, jump down to verse number 6. It says, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Last place I'm going to have you turn for tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians, actually go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and we're done. So I just had to throw that in there, you know, Revelation, written by John to the 7 churches in Asia, okay? But yet, the Apostle Paul's our apostle. We only listen to him. You know, I've got more respect for the liberals, sorry I had to say it, than I do that, okay? I'm just going to say that and just leave it for what it is, okay? Because at least they just don't talk about doctrine a lot of times, depending on the church. They just kind of look at my new jeans and that's it. That's better than that gross, disgusting, false interpretation of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 3. So Paul says this. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So what is he telling them? Saying, you know what, you Corinthians, you guys are worldly, okay? You're acting like there's no difference between you and the world. Now look at verse number 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Okay, look. This game's already been played. Okay, the Corinthian church is playing this game. Paul's our apostle. And then they had other guys, oh, you know, Apollos is ours, right? He's our preacher. He's our favorite. We only listen to him, right? And they were puffed up. Go read chapter 1. Same thing. Same thing. Paul, this isn't the first time that he's rebuking him on this. Okay? They were saying, hey, Apollos baptized me and my family. And one was saying, oh, Paul baptized me. And he's like, I don't remember who I baptized. Okay? So just drop it. Okay? Are we supposed to be like that? No. I thought we were in this thing for Christ. That's what we're in this thing for. To serve him. Not man. And Paul tells him, you know what? You guys are ignorant. And then in chapter number 3, what does he say? Are ye not carnal? So think about that for a second. When you see stuff like that. Sam Gipp saying, you know, he's our apostle. He just teleported you all the way back to the early days of the Corinthian church, which is not a good thing. The entire letter is a rebuke, like from head to toe, just rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. They weren't doing things right at all. Calling them carnal, babes. He's like, I couldn't even give you guys any meat. That's how bad it is here. Right? We don't want to be like that. We won't be like that. We're going to preach the truth. We're going to teach the truth. And we're going to stand against anybody who contradicts it. And that's just the way it is. So anyways, we are going to stop right there. And we will pick it up again next week. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again, for just the clear and concise truth regarding end times events, Lord, that are in the Bible. Just pray that you would help us to be able to explain these things to other people, Lord. And we just pray that more people would wake up to these things, Lord, and get the true joy and the true comfort that comes with knowing the truth. And we thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Please bless the fellowship after the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, please grab your songbooks one more time this evening and turn to song 23. Song number 23, There Is Power in the Blood. On the first, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood, sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. On the last, would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Brother Jeff, would you close the service out in a word of prayer, please?
Dear Lord, thank you so much for the message tonight. Lord, thank you for this church. And the pastor is not afraid to preach some of these truths in the Bible that may be unpleasant to some folks. Lord, we pray you help us receive it. Help us to study our Bibles, Lord. Take comfort in these things, knowing that we may go through some of this stuff in our lifetime or our children's lifetimes. Lord, help us to strengthen each other. Help us to strengthen ourselves in the Word of God, Lord. And keep us safe and bless the soul in this week, Lord. Be with Brother Skulk. Family and Miss Rachel and Bill Michael. We love you.